Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, with thanksgiving and praise, we come before you today for your goodness, for your love, for your mercy and grace, which is absolutely new to us and unending every day. Lord God, Heavenly Father, as we hear your message today based upon your truth and your word, by the power of your Holy Spirit, open our hearts and minds to hear your word and gladly receive it and do it. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. So as you know, and as you recall, the devotionals that are on the back table are serving as the themes for each of our worship services. And today's devotional is called Healing His Enemies. The text the devotion is based on is from Luke chapter 6, verse 27, and it says, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you." What a confusing word in the English language love is. It really is. And we throw it about in our society and our culture. I love chocolate ice cream. And in the same word, we'll say we love our wives or our husbands. Well, does that mean you loved your chocolate ice cream as much as you do your wife or husband? Don't answer that. It's a very confusing language, this English that we use. And fortunately, in the Bible, in the Greek, in the original text, it's a little more specific. It's a little less confusing. Well, at least it is when you learn the language. Because there are 17 Greek words for love. One that could be used for I love chocolate ice cream. One that could be used for I love my friends. One that can be used for the love between a husband and a wife. And then, of course, the one that we are most familiar with, and that is the love of God, which is agape love. Agape love is an unconditional love. You see, we're not quite familiar with unconditional love in this world. Some of us grew up in abusive households. Some of us grew up in households or in childhoods where, you know, if we were good, our parents loved us. If we made the best grades in class, they were on our side. They loved us. They cared for us. Some of us are in relationships now where if our spouse or our person we're dating, well, if they're pleased with us, they show us love. And if they're not, they don't show us love. The world is kind of famous for that. Even in our workplaces, your bosses love you when you do the right things, and they don't like you so much when you aren't doing the right things. This world is so famous for conditional love that we can't really begin to understand and grasp what this unconditional love is. This agape love, this perfect love, this love that God is. You see, it's this unconditional love of God that sweeps into our life, and it's this unconditional love of God that says to you and to me, no matter your past, no matter your sins, no matter your present, no matter how bad you may think you are, no matter your future, I, your God, loves you. Love you. I love you more than anything else in all creation. We know this because when he created us in the beginning, he said we were very good. We know this because we are the crown of God's creation. We know this because when we fell into sin, he chose to redeem us and make us a new creation again. We know this because God says it over and over again in his text and shows it over and over again in the Bible through his death and resurrection, through the baptism we receive, through the Lord's Supper, through the word, that he has ultimate love for us. And nothing, St. Paul says, in all creation, not height, nor depth, nor the present, nor the future, nor any power, neither life or death itself can ever separate us from this overwhelming, unconditional love that God has for you and for me. That is unconditional agape love. And then more importantly, Scripture says God is love. A good example of this agape love is in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting at verse 4, and this is what St. Paul says. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Brothers and sisters, that's not the kind of love our world is famous for. Look at the divorce rate in the United States of America. Look at parents who abandon their children in the United States of America. Look at the abuse rates that happen to our children in the United States of America. And we can keep on going and make that list longer, but I think you catch what I'm trying to say. The reality is, St. John himself, in his writing, teaches us that God is love. He just doesn't love. He is love. Our human minds, what does that mean? We can't grasp it. Because again, we live in this world that's so famous for hatred and bigotry and racism and judging and all the other garbage that goes along with it, that our minds can't grasp that this great being that we call God, this wonderful, masterful God, triune Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, he actually is himself unconditional love. Quick question, what's the opposite of love? I'm glad you said that. That's not right. Scripture says that God's perfect love casts out fear. Fear is the opposite of love. Fear. Fear comes from Satan. And here's the reality. Hate is born from fear. Think about it. When we hate people because of their color or their race or their religion or their sexuality, when we hate people because of what they've done, what we think they've done, or what we made up in our head that they may have done, when we hate people for their actions, and the list can go on and on again, that's all born out of fear. Fear that we've lost control, fear that we cannot keep control, fear because it's different than us, fear, fear, fear. All born out of fear. That's the reality. But in Scripture, God tells us, my love will cast out your fear. My love is the light, as John says today, that shines in the darkness. And through the darkness that envelops our lives, the darkness of sin and the chaos of this world, the overwhelming light and love of God will shine in our lives. Having been created in God's image, and key, being recreated in his image in baptism through the power of the word and water, being recreated in his image, we are created to be beings of love. And I'm not talking about chocolate ice cream type of love either, although that's pretty good stuff. I'm talking about agape love, an unconditional love, a love that sees beyond faults, a love that sees beyond sins, a love that sees beyond the person and their outward action, to a love that sees what's deep inside of every one of us, which is the same darn thing. Sinfulness, brokenness, and darkness. And it's through loving each other with the agape love of God that we overcome the darkness and the light shines in our life. The Bible gives us some great examples of love. The first one I'm going to surprise you with. Did you know that the Ten Commandments are an example of love? How many of you knew that? Not many. Good. I'm glad. Because you've not been taught right. A lot of pastors don't teach this, and a lot of people don't get it. But a lot of people think the Ten Commandments are these rules that God came down and gave us and said, you have to follow these, and if you don't follow these, you're not perfect, and you can't go to heaven. And indeed, that's certainly what it sounds like, but that's not why God gave us the Ten Commandments. God gave us the Ten Commandments to show us how to love him and how to love other people. Do you remember that thing we talked about called the theology of the cross? Do you remember that? It all fits into this, okay? So you look at the cross, there's that vertical realm, there's a horizontal realm in a nutshell. The vertical realm represents our relationship with God and God's relationship with us, which refers to the first three tables of the Ten Commandments, all dealing with how to love God. The second table of the commandments, which are the next seven, are the horizontal realm of that cross, and that's how to love each other. The Ten Commandments are truly an example of how we love each other. How we become selfless and denying our own wants and desires for the good of those around us. Putting others first and loving others the way that God loves us. The Good Samaritan is a great example of love. As the Samaritan himself stops and helps this poor man who has been broken and wounded, even though the priests and the pastors walk by on the other side. St. Paul and his ministry to the jailers. Have you ever read those stories in the Bible? How awesome is that? Here he is in jail, right? And most people in jail, I visited jails. My father-in-law was a prison chaplain. They don't usually love people too much in jail, but St. Paul loved them. He preached to them. He shared love with them. He sang with them. He did wonderful things for them. That's an example of unconditional love. Malchus in our text for today. My goodness, he had his ear cut off. But what, because of coming to arrest Jesus, but what did Jesus do? He loved him. And later on, the assumption in Christian tradition is he became Christian and more than likely loved others. In our gospel lesson for today, we're told that we are supposed to love our enemies. Oh my gosh, oh, I hate that. Oh my gosh, why did Jesus have to even put that in there? It's more fun to be mean to your enemies than to love them. I mean, who would you agree? Come on, be honest. In our human nature, which is easier? To love our enemies or hate our enemies? Which is easier? To hate our enemies. I mean, after all, they did this to us and they did this to us, and so I'm going to do this to them. I'll tell you a little secret. I kind of like the passage that says when you love your enemy, it's like pouring burning coals on their head. Shh, don't tell them I said that, okay? But we're called to love our enemies, to put them first, to humble ourselves. Unconditional love. The Bible says that sharing the light of Jesus with those who dwell in darkness is an example of love. That's the reason the church exists, right? We don't exist to come here and give offerings on Sunday. We don't exist to come and worship on Sunday, which all these things are crucially important for our own individual spiritual health, but that's not why we exist. We do this for the reason that we do exist, and the reason we do exist is to go and make disciples of all nations by baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We do this to go out to those people who are broken and destitute and homeless and not loved and are deeply wounded and are deeply stuck and rooted in sins and who are different than us, who may smell different than us and look different than us and live their life differently than us. We do this to go out to love them. The Bible truly gives that example. Sharing God's love in forgiveness with fellow sinners. Man, that's hard to do. It's hard to forgive people, but this is what I tell you. First of all, forgiveness is a gift to yourself, because if you don't forgive others, you make yourself a slave to that person. Basically, forgiveness is taking the knife out of your own back and letting yourself heal. It's taking the knife out of your own back and letting yourself heal, and as you heal, you're able to begin to pray for the person who hurt you, and you're able to love that person. Trust me, it's happened in my life many times. Jesus and those who brutally killed him is an example of love. Jesus, who was brutally killed by people. And those people would be you and me. It was you and me who put Jesus on that cross. It was our sinfulness that nailed him to that tree. It was our rebelliousness that sent him into the abyss and torment of hell. He gave the ultimate example of love so that we would never have to experience being separated from God again. He died the death we deserved and so much more. He took on hell and Satan and defeated them both and the grave, so that we can be with him forever. Love died so that love could live. Love died so that love could live. But before we can love with this agape love, we must first realize and celebrate and rejoice in the fact that God loves us. The more I do counseling and the more I'm working on my second master's degree in counseling, the more I've realized this. We have a systemic problem in our culture and society today that can be seen in the fact that depression and anxiety rates are higher than they ever have been, and the suicide rate has tripled in the last 5 years. And here's the systemic problem. We don't love ourselves. We allow Satan and his shame and the negative voices as I'm not good, I'm not perfect, I'm a failure, I'm not a good pastor, I'm not a good person to bind up in our heads. I'm going to confess something to you. I'm really bad at this. I am really bad at loving myself. As a matter of fact, my counselor on Friday said, Travis, you've done a lot of healing over all these years, but you still got one problem. And I smiled smugly and said, well, what is that? He goes, you have not let yourself experience the grace of Jesus and loved yourself. The negative voices are still in your head. And we all know them. You're not good enough. You're not beautiful enough. You failed as a parent. You suck at your job. You're a bad pastor. You're destroying your congregation. And the reality is, here's the reality. God doesn't say that to us. Instead, when we take a step back and when we remember that we're baptized and we bury ourselves in the Word and we bury ourselves in the sacrament and we bury ourselves in the grace and we start praying this prayer, God, help me to see your grace and experience it in my life. Help me to love myself as you love me. And when we start thinking positive thoughts about ourselves, it is not crazy to talk to yourself, by the way. When we start thinking positive thoughts, I am God's child. I am loved. I am forgiven. I am good at my job. I am a good pastor. I am lovable. When we start letting those messages into our head, those messages that God firmly wants us to hear, our lives begin to change from the inside out. Satan and his shame flees from us. The wounds of our past are broken and healed. He changes us from being enemies to ourselves into being beloved children for him. Until we are able in our lives to experience ourselves the agape love of Jesus for ourselves, we cannot begin to love God and others fully. And that's what's wrong with our world today. But amazing things happen as we pray the prayer, God, help me to experience your love. Help me to experience your grace. When we begin to focus on our identity as God's children and his love for us, amazing things happen because the love of Jesus flows freely into our hearts and lives, and we are nothing but a vessel at the foot of the cross where God is pouring in daily his grace, his love, and his forgiveness. And as we fill up, our lives begin to overflow with rejoicing, thanksgiving, and praise. And as they begin to overflow with rejoicing and thanksgiving and praise, it overflows back to God in praise and glory and out to others around us. And as it flows out to others around us, they begin to experience the overwhelming, agape, perfect love of God, and they begin to want to have what you have in your life. Not because of your good works, not because of what you've done, not because of your past, not because of your present, not because of your future, not because of you, but because of the wonderful love of God that is overwhelming and free because of his death and resurrection that flows into your life every day by the power of word and sacrament. A love that frees you, a love that overwhelms you, a love that heals you, a love that mends you, a love that binds you, a love that says to you, you will not die but live, declares the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it is, as we do nothing but surrender. That's all God wants. As we do nothing but surrender at the foot of his cross, the overwhelming perfect love of God works miracles and amazing works in our lives and in the world around us. In the name of Jesus, amen.